It's wonderful to see you all here this morning. I'm going to get right at it because I've got a lot of material, and I'll maybe have to cut some of it out. But we are in number six of the We Are To Be, eight marks of a healthy church taken from the book of Acts. The book of Acts demonstrates that prayer is not merely an option, but a vital characteristic of God's people in enabling divine power, spiritual guidance, and breakthrough. So the title this morning is We Are To Be a Praying People. So let's stop. Everybody take a breath and let's pray. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we pause to remember this one thing remains. Your love. It never gives up. Thank you for loving us so much that you created this beautiful place, this garden for us to live in, and you made a plan, and we messed it up. But you continued in your plan to bring us back into relationship with you through Jesus Christ, the ultimate picture of love. And as we pray, your body, your bride, your church together, we just return our attention to you and say you are worthy of all glory, all power, all dominion forever and ever. And we proclaim this day again that through your Holy Spirit's coming, through the prompting of our spirits, we return to you. We repent of our wicked ways and we turn again to you as a body, as your bride, asking for your forgiveness, asking for your continued love and growth in our lives. And we know we don't have to ask because your abundance overflows. But we want to, because we want to show you how much we love you. So, Father, we love you as our Creator God, Yahweh, that beautiful, almighty God. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for coming and becoming one of us, walking among us and learning what it was like to depend on your Father. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you that you are with us. You're our comforter, our protector, our challenger, and our guide. Thank you for Emmanuel Baptist Church and for this day that we celebrate Pentecost. I pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I want to be a little playful with you. I didn't do an acronym. I did alliteration. And so there are a lot of P words today. So I've got five P's in the pod. And so I just wanted to play because the Pentecost power, presence, plan, purpose, and passion of prayer are what I want us to take away from the book of Acts today. We will explore how the book of Acts consistently portrays the early believers as a people of prayer and what that means for you and me today. We are called to be a people defined by persistent, fervent, and expectant prayer. So the first point, it's up there, good. The power of prayer, more than just a habit. Now, we've been going through the first four of the eight principles come out of this verse, right? We are to be a people of the word, we are people of fellowship, of communion, breaking of bread, and today we're doing prayer. It's a little out of order, but these four principles, marks from the healthy church coming from the book of Acts, are in this one verse. But each week, we've read 42 through 47. And so that's where basically my sub-thoughts come from. Let me make sure I'm working. Now I got it. Okay, let's put A up there. There we go. Okay. The power of deep awe and signs and wonders. This comes from verse 43 that says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. You and I are a people that when we pray, God does awesome things, right? If we don't pray, he's not going to do awesome things. And B, I don't know why I'm not working here, guys, so just keep up with me. B, the prayer of unity and sharing. And all the believers met together. Now, we've covered these, so this is just a rehash of verses 42 through 47. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those who were in need. Right? When we're praying, we're giving, we're sharing. We're doing what the church was called to be. And then C, the power of practicing presence. They worshiped together, verse 46 reads, in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper. Note that. They met in homes for breaking of bread, supper together. We got to work on that one. And shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And then D, the power of praise, thank you, is verse 47, and while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what happens when the church prays? All of these things. And the final ultimate result is people coming to faith in Jesus Christ and joining the group because they see how much we're in love with God and how much he loves us and them. The book of Acts reveals that prayer was the very heartbeat of the early church, not just an add-on. It wasn't something they did, but something they were. We are to be a people of prayer. So my second point is the presence of prayer, the foundation of every beginning. First thought is the presence of the gathered body, and this is the church. So I just want to go through a little bit of Acts with you. We're going to be reading a whole lot of Acts today. Acts 1:4, once while they were eating, while he was eating with them, Jesus was still on earth, this was before the ascensions, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you a gift he promised. Okay, this is the promise of the Holy Spirit after the crucifixion. Jesus had said, I'm leaving before the crucifixion, but I'll send a comforter. This was afterwards. He's saying again, stay in Jerusalem because I'm going to send you a gift. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were there with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, when's the time for free Israel and restore the kingdom? And he replied, no, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times. And they are not for you to know, right? They were focusing on the wrong thing, thinking physically. Verse 8, the Great Commission in Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, right? We just testified to that. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then a few verses later, Acts 1:14, they all met together, right? Togetherness. And they were constantly united in prayer. What were they doing? They were praying a lot, along with Mary and the mother of Jesus and several other women and the mothers and brothers. Over 30 times, the word pray, prayer, prayed, or praying is listed in the book of Acts. And I actually printed 20 of them out. I don't know that I have time to run through all of them. Some of them we'll be reading today, but just listen to this. 1:24, and they played, oh Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men to choose, right? We've referenced that before. 2:42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's behind me. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take place in the 3 o'clock prayer. 4:24, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God, O sovereign God, creator of heaven and earth, and sea and everything in them. Acts 4:31, after this praying, the meeting shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. 6:4, then when the apostles spent time in prayer and teaching in the word. 6:6, these seven were presented to the apostles who prayed for them and laid hands on them, right? We've talked about that before, but we're going to be coming back to that. 7:59, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Father Jesus, receive my spirit. 8:15, as soon as they arrived, they prayed for those new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. 8:22, repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. 8:24, pray to the Lord for me, Simon exclaimed. These terrible things you've said won't happen to me. 9:11, the Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul. He is praying right now. And it goes on and on and on and on. The church was a praying people, as you and I are to be. So the second thought, B, is Pentecost. This is the day that we're celebrating today. And I want to read Acts 2:2-13. So that's on the next slide, and I want you to see it because it's rather long. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roar of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone's presence was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation there in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, they came running, and they were bewildered to hear in their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And it lists all of those languages that I won't read. We all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done, right? When the church received the Spirit, as they were praying, people from around the world who were there saw, heard, and understood in their heart language the good news of Jesus Christ. This wasn't a casual meeting. It was a focused pursuit of the promise, the Holy Spirit, his purpose, unity, and his plan, the good news. For us, new ventures, new seasons, new ministries, new personnel commitments, all should begin, end with, and be bathed in a season of prayer. You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. Everything we do before, during, and after, we make it a point of prayer, right? It's not just a sideline. It's not just something we do to start or to end. It is the very life of the church. The third P in our pod today is the plan of prayer. And this is seeking divine guidance. So A is choosing leadership. And there are actually 2 points, but are 3 references here. When replacing Judas, we've already talked about this a little bit with Matthias, they didn't just pick the most qualified. They prayed for God's clear direction. So what we need to do is we're talking about leadership at Emmanuel. Pray for God's clear direction. They did cast lots, which was a cultural method of seeking God, but after prayer, right? Prayer was the focus. And this includes in Acts 6, that was from Acts 1, this includes the appointing of the servant leaders or deacons to oversee the daily tasks of the church. And we covered that before. And then So the appointing of elders, committing them to God. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church with prayer and fasting, right? How did they do it? They went through a season of prayer and fasting, and they appointed the leaders, committing them to the Lord. The establishment and leadership of churches were bathed in prayer. They were covered in prayer. Prayer was the primary activity of the first church. We should be like the first church. Number 4, the purpose of prayer. And this is the engine of apostolic ministry. And I thought about this. You know, an engine, a physical vehicle engine, runs the car, right? Well, what does the engine run on? It runs on fuel, or as C.S. Lewis would say, it was petrol, right? And Jesus is the fuel, the engine is the good news, right? The engine is us. We run on Jesus. So how do we engage and get more and more involved by coming into the life of Jesus. And the primary way we do that is in the Word, through prayer, together, right? Those three things, Word, unity, and prayer. The purpose of prayer is to enter in and act or run according to the Great Commission, the good news, the gospel. Go into the world and make disciples. A, the purpose of bold preaching and witnessing, and this is from Acts 4, 23 through 31. After being threatened, Peter and John returned to the church and they all prayed. So what happened? They were proclaiming the good news. They were arrested, right? The church prayed for them and they returned. Their prayer wasn't for safety from persecution, but for boldness to continue proclaiming God's word. And what was the result? This was the one we read. The place where their meeting was shaken and they spoke the word of God even more boldly, right? In the face of persecution, what did they do? Run and hide? No, they prayed. And that caused them to be more bold in their sharing the gospel. So our evangelism, our witness, our ability to speak truth in a hostile world is fueled by prayer, remaining in Him. And this one thing remains in us, the love of Jesus, right? We sang that. Are we praying for boldness to share the gospel here at Emmanuel? Are you praying for boldness to share the gospel where you are, no matter the circumstances around you? B is the purpose of deliverance from persecution. Now, in 12, 1 through 17, James is martyred. This is James and John, the brothers of thunder, sons of thunder. And Peter is imprisoned again, facing execution. And what does the church do? But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. This is Acts 12, 5. And what happened? An amazing miracle. An angel comes to Peter and the chains fall off, right? A very physical manifestation of my chains are gone. I've been set free, right? What happens to you and me when we come into faith in Jesus Christ and we find healing through him? But in this, it was a physical thing. When we face impossible situations, whether personal challenges, spiritual attacks, or societal pressure, our first response should be persistent, passionate prayer. Do you believe God can intervene in the impossible? No matter what you're experiencing today, do you believe that God can receive the glory through it? I know he can, and I encourage you to know he can. And how can you enter into that knowing that being? Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. The most beautiful and simple prayer. Lord, I can't handle this anymore. Come, be my Lord. You are God. You are in control. Take responsibility for this. And then see, the purpose of sending out missionaries and discerning God's call. The church in, this is from Acts 13, 1 through 3. The church in Antioch was worshiping. Why were they in Antioch? Most of them were in Jerusalem. There was persecution, right? They moved to, they dispersed a little bit. That was God's plan to spread people out. He does that throughout history. Persecution is usually God's plan to scatter his people so that they can be witnesses in other parts of the world. But they were worshiping in Antioch, the Lord, and fasting, praying and fasting. The Holy Spirit spoke clearly during this time of prayer. He said, set apart for me Barnabas, the encourager, right? I love that guy. And Saul, for the work to which I have called them. They prayed and placed their hands on them, anointing them, blessing them, and sending them off for the missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas were to take. So for us, ministry initiatives, missionary endeavors, and sending out workers for the harvest are all rooted in prayer and discernment, asking, what do you want us to do, Lord? Are we praying for laborers and clarity in all of our callings? Are we saying, Lord Jesus, who do you want for these roles? Who do you want to lead these ministries? Who among us are you sending out? This is a transitional time at Emmanuel because we're moving into the summer. So one of the slides up here that you'll see at the end of the service is this your last Sunday? We would like for you to stand, not now, but then, and we'll pray and send you out, because the church is to be a missions sending agency. And yes, we do give to missions, and we send missionaries through organized structures, but we also send each other out. Because if you're leaving Emmanuel and going to the next place, we can bless you and send you out in the name of Jesus Christ. So then, number five, I told you I had a lot of material. The passion of prayer. And I hope this morning that you sense the passion of prayer in the words that we've sung, in the prayers that we've prayed, in the looking at the Word of God. Times of crisis and leadership transition are the thoughts. So A is passionate, persistent prayer. I want us to be a triple P church, right? We are people of passionate, persistent prayer. What does passionate mean? Right? It's just crying out to God over and over and over again, being consistent and persistent and saying, Lord, I'm going to pray no matter how long it takes, right? I wish that things happened instantly, but they don't. That's not God's plan, and His ways are not for us to know. Our job is to come in line with Him, to seek His will, to ask Him to move, but then to wait and continue to pray. That's passionate, persistent prayer. So at Emmanuel, are we quick to plan and strategize, or are we quick to pray? Do we make prayer the priority? Are our prayers perky, meaning short, or are we praying without ceasing? Do we constantly call upon the name of the Lord? Are we passionately seeking the Lord's will and His kingdom at Emmanuel? Major decisions, whether personal, family, or church-wide, demand prayer. Do we make decisions based on human wisdom alone, or do we truly seek God's voice through prayer? And then B is Paul's farewell, entrusting to God's grace. Paul knelt down in Acts chapter 20 with the Ephesian elders and prayed with them. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew he was probably going to be arrested. This was a moment of deep fellowship and spiritual commitment. Significant transitions, partings, and moments of handing off responsibility should be marked by prayer, entrusting people and situations to God's care. So, Holy Spirit, You were at work in our lives. We're planning the summer, and we're going to have a summer of Psalms, just to let you know. And the Holy Spirit just worked through a bunch of different people, and we all came up with the same idea independently and put it together and thought, oh, this is really cool. And that's the last page of my notes. Somehow I didn't print page 8, which is okay, because the Holy Spirit said, maybe you're not supposed to preach that this morning. That was my conclusion. But I made a slide. So here we go. Becoming a people of prayer today. Here it is. We are to be a people of passionate, persistent prayer, petitioning our paraclete for His power, presence, plan, passion, and purpose. Can we be that together? Are you willing to be a passionate, persistent people of prayer? If you are, let's stand and join Him in prayer. Father, we stand to our feet honoring You. Thank You for the book of Acts. Thank You for Luke, who wrote it, compiled, interviewed all of these people, and got the details like the doctor would, so that we can understand how much You love Your kingdom, Your bride, your church. And Lord, we want to again say we're sorry. We repent of church history that has gone so far away from You. Lord, we want to be a church at Emmanuel in Madrid, just like the early church in Acts. So Lord, teach us, grow us, and let us be a people who come to You for everything, because You're our Papa, You're Yahweh God. There's nothing too big or too great for You. There's nothing too small. You know it all. And yet You want us to come to You in humility, in repentance, in worship, and as a child, saying, Father, we want your will to come. We want your kingdom in this church, in this city, in your world. Let us be a passionate people of prayer. And I pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.